We are sponsored by the Keepersall Winery and the Keepersall Collection of Wines, available at Fresh by Brookshire's on Old Jacksonville Highway in Tyler, at neighborhood Brookshire stores all over East Texas, and at the Keepersall Winery on the grounds of Keepersall Estates. 50 years ago this week, President Lyndon Johnson, in his State of the Union address, said, quote, "This administration today, here and now, declares unconditional war on poverty in America. I urge this Congress and all Americans to join me in that effort," end quote. Well, certainly all Americans, or at least all taxpayers, have joined the effort. Depending on the estimate you choose, between $15 and $20 trillion of taxpayer money has been expended in the last half century on programs that were inspired by, or born of, the war on poverty. With the national debt now standing at $17 trillion, it's fair to say that but for the war on poverty, there would be no national debt. So what have we gotten in return for mortgaging the future of our children? Well, sad to say, not much. The poverty rate in America stands essentially unchanged from its level on this day 50 years ago. If nothing else, the war on poverty has proved the words of the scripture in which Jesus said, "The poor you will always have with you." But unlike 50 years ago, we have much more than simply the poor with us. We now have a deeply entrenched welfare culture. An alphabet soup of about 80 anti-poverty programs has proliferated since LBJ declared war. Over the years, we've changed the acronyms and prettied up some of the program names. Food stamps now go by the acronym SNAP, which means Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. We now call welfare temporary assistance to needy families. Only in too many cases, it isn't temporary. For millions, life on the public dole is now passed from generation to generation. Anti-poverty programs that were intended as a leg up have instead become a way of life. Some war on poverty programs continue to expand, despite strong empirical evidence of their ineffectiveness. One example is the Head Start program. It was launched in 1965 to help preschool children from impoverished homes catch up academically with their more affluent peers. The program now spends $7 billion per year on approximately 1 million children. A 2011 Department of Health and Human Services study concluded that whatever gains that children might make early on in the program are essentially undetectable by the time the children reach the second grade. Some studies have concluded that there are no measurable academic gains among Head Start recipients at all. Both Medicare and Medicaid were created under legislation passed as a part of the war on poverty. Both programs are now themselves insolvent and threaten the very solvency of the country. Meanwhile, a massive welfare bureaucracy has arisen, and like all bureaucracies, its goal is to expand and perpetuate itself. Toward that end, the administrators of the country's various relief and anti-poverty programs actively encourage enrollment as justification for ever-expanding staffs, salaries, perks, and power. One estimate says that the combined welfare bureaucracy now consumes 78 cents of every dollar allocated to it, leaving just 22 cents to actually expend on recipients. But for all of the fiscal wreckage attendant to spending $20 trillion toward no measurable result, the human cost is far worse. No less a liberal New Dealer than Franklin Roosevelt sounded the warning. He said, quote, "The lessons of history, confirmed by evidence immediately before me, show conclusively that continued dependence upon relief induces a spiritual and moral disintegration to the national fiber. To dole out relief is to administer a narcotic, a subtle destroyer of the human spirit," end quote. The war on poverty may be most soundly condemned for eroding the spirit of personal responsibility. Little by little, over a half century, it became socially acceptable to take rather than produce. With respect to self-sufficiency and the dignity attendant to earning one's daily bread rather than be given it, it became acceptable to not even try. For millions, the war on poverty destroyed their very character. A half-century war is a long war indeed. If it hasn't been won, prudence demands taking a long, hard look at its strategies, its tactics, and indeed, its very premise. That's my word. What's yours? Go to YouTellMeTexas.com and you tell me. And follow me on Twitter at Paul Gleiser. Here's a wine you want to get while you can. In all of the rush surrounding the Christmas season, Keepersall released their 2011 Zinfandel. I finally opened a bottle of it last night, and while I was pouring, my wife said, pour me a glass too. I said, well, I haven't tried this wine, so I'm not making any promises. And she said, okay, and she took the first sip. The next words out of her mouth, wow, this is really nice. And so it is. The 2011 Keepersall Zinfandel is a wonderful dry red, a classic example of what you get when you buy estate-grown wines. Like ordering a bottle of wine in Europe, you get a wine that's part of a limited bottling from a local winery. Try the 2011 Zinfandel at the Keepersall Winery this weekend and then grab it, because they only made 74 cases of it. That's 888 bottles, and I already have two of them. The Keepersall Winery is on the grounds of Keepersall Estate. Go south on Broadway to FM 344. Go left under the bridge for a mile, and then turn left at the Keepersall Gate. Learn more at keepersall.com.